Good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. I appreciate your presence. We come together today to worship God and to honor Him in everything that we do. We have several of our members that are traveling and are away from us this morning, but we do have some visitors, and we're grateful for your presence and hope that we will do you nothing but good today as we honor God. We have been discussing for the last few weeks on the subject of prayer. And one of the things that we need to always think about when we're talking about prayer, I think it would be good for us that we make sure we understand God in prayer. What does He tell us in prayer, right? In the Bible, what is it about, right? What is it all about? We talked about last week having one of the things, having the proper attitude. Do you remember the Jesus told the story about the Pharisee and the publican, or the tax collector, right? And you remember there, and this is one of what this little picture here is supposed to represent here. You think about the Pharisee and how, you know, how proud he was, right? And you remember his prayer. He's just bragging, right? In his prayer, he's just talking to God about how good he is, right? And all things. And you remember then the tax collector or the publican. He's not able to lift his head up to heaven, right? He understands that he's a sinner, right? He understands he needs God's help. He needs God. And that's the thing that we need to remember, okay? When it comes to prayer. It's not a time for us to brag, right? It's not a time. Prayer is not a time to tell God how good you are, right? Because God already sees you. He already knows you. He already knows what kind of problems we have. Everybody has problems, by the way, if you don't already know that. Everybody has problems. Everybody needs help, right? Everybody needs God and needs help. David said it this way in Psalm 51 in verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Okay? So that's what God's looking for. Okay? David realized that. He realized that. He realized his sin. He realized what condition he was in. And he realized he needed God. Now, when we talk about prayer today, we're going to go to another aspect in that today, but I want us to think about understanding God, who He is, okay? Jesus, obviously, since Jesus was God and is God, He understood God the Father. He understood what prayer was about. Notice Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. Matthew 26 and verse 39. And going a little farther, now this is Jesus, He fell on His face and prayed, My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou will. Jesus understood what true prayer is about. It's about God's will. That's what it's about. Okay, Jesus is suffering. He knows what He's about to have to go through. He knows what He's about to have to suffer. And yet, at the very end, He's saying, God, if it's possible, if there's another way, okay, that'd be another way of saying, if there's another way for me to do this, let me do it, okay? But if not, Your will. Not as I will, but as You will. Okay? There's the attitude. There's understanding God. If we're going to pray in the right way, we've got to understand that point. That's a very important point. What God has to offer for us really does not appeal to the worldly-minded person. Okay? So we're going to talk about some things today. We're going to talk about, look at some passages, okay, and we're going to look at some things, but what God has to offer does not really appeal to the godly. When you enter into prayer with God, you need to know what He offers and what He does not offer, Okay? So, I think Paul understood this. Paul understood this in this prayer and talked about it. Listen to Paul's attitude. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 beginning. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. He says, there is great gain in godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Kind of like Paul, he understood, didn't he? He didn't say, well, you know, we've got to have all of the riches. We need all of these things. We've got to see how much stuff we can have, we can collect. Okay, God wants to bless us. You know, we hear today some people say, God wants to bless you with all of these wonderful physical things. Okay, see, people do not understand the will of God. Now, God, it's not that God does not want to bless you. Okay, but He wants to bless you with spiritual blessings. Okay, that's what he wants to lavish upon us. And that's what he has done for us through Jesus. But yet he wants to give us food and clothing as well. Okay, and that's what he's saying here. He's saying, well, we gotta learn to be content. Okay, be content. Don't keep wanting, well, we gotta have this, and no, we gotta have that, and we gotta have this, and we gotta have that. And that's what our prayer, if we're not careful, that's what we start praying for. We'll pray for this, well, we gotta have this physical thing, and this physical thing, and this physical thing. And before long, that's what our prayers are. And that's, we've missed the boat. We've missed what God has for us. What He wants for us. See, I'm afraid, brethren, that when we don't realize that when God answers prayer, it is for our ultimate good. Did you hear that? For our ultimate good. What does God want me to become? You ever ask that question? Maybe say, what does God want me to do? What does God want me to become? In 5 years, what does God want me to be? In 10 years, what does God want me to be? In 20 years, whatever. What does God want me to become? And I'll tell you, brethren, the Bible's plain about what God wants out of His people. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 beginning. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. What does God want? He wants us all to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what He wants out of everyone. To be conformed to the image of His Son. What things then will make us more like Jesus? What things will make us more like Jesus? What things should we pray for? What things that should help us become more like Jesus? See, I'm afraid, and this is a sad thing, but sadly, some view God as the great vending machine. Okay, right? You know, we put something in, we ask God for a thing, we push the button, and boom, something's going to come out, right? But brethren, we've got to understand the very purpose of faith. The very purpose of faith. So far, in our lesson, we've talked about types of prayer. We talked about praise and thanksgiving, right? And you know, the Bible says that in everything, give thanks to God, right? In everything, give thanks to God. So our prayers should be filled with praise of God and thanksgiving. Last week, we talked about confession. Right? Confessing our sins to God. Having the right attitudes we talked about. And today we want to think about petition. The area of petitioning God. And someone says, well, what does the word petition mean? Right? What does that, you know, it's a, we don't use that word a lot anymore, right? Okay, but it's a fancy word just saying to ask God. Right? To implore. To plead. To cry out to God. In each case, it acknowledges how much we depend on God for our needs. This is very important, right? Having the right attitude. Do we depend upon God for our needs? Okay? Now think about it. That's something we've all got to answer, right? Do we depend upon God for our needs, or do we just, whenever there's a major problem, then we go to God, right? When do we talk to God? Prayers of petition are the types of prayer that we're most familiar with, though, right? We all understand that, right? So when we need something, we go to God and pray about it, right? When we need something, we go to God and pray about it. We ask God for things we need. Now, primarily, hopefully, we're asking, there's a spiritual needs, but that we also have physical needs as well, right? And remember, even Paul talked about, you know, the food and the clothing, right? And things like that. Our prayers of petition, though, and this is what we want to get to, our prayers of petition should always include a statement of our willingness to accept God's will. The example being was Jesus, right? We looked at the very beginning, right? Jesus, I mean, if there was ever someone who's going to God for help when he's about to give his life for the whole world, it was Jesus, and yet he turns around and says, not my will, but as you will. Okay? And here's something to think about. It always should include a statement of our willingness to accept God's will, whether He directly answers our prayer or not. You ever make ultimatums to God? I'm like, ooh. I don't think we call them ultimatums right in our prayer, but we say, hey, if you'll do this, then I'll do that. Okay? That's not the way we should be as Christians, right? Whether God answers our prayer or not, the way we think it needs to be answered. Okay, and that's the key. See, we think, we go to God, we think we know what we want, right? All right, God, I need you to give me this and give me that and give me that. And if you can do it by tomorrow, it'd be great. Right? You know, get all that stuff done and give it to me by tomorrow. Everything will be good. But how does God... Okay, what do we do if God doesn't seem to answer right away? Right? What's our attitude in that? The power of petition and faith. Okay, there's the key. In faith to God. In faith to God. Prayer, as we said, must be offered in the will of God. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And verse 14 beginning. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. Okay, so He's saying right off the bat here, right? You hear this? If you ask anything according to the will of God, okay? There's the key. He didn't say, if you ask anything, you've got it. Okay? If we ask anything, we've got it. It says, as anything according to His will, He hears us. He hears us when we're praying according to His will. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have a request which we have asked from Him. Now, someone says, well, it sounds like it says, as long as I say at the very end, in your will, then I can just ask whatever, right? And throw that little phrase in there and I'll be good to go. Well, not quite. Okay? Look at verse 16 of the same reading, 1 John 5, verse 16. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life to those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make requests for this. Right off the bat, in verse 16, He gives us something that we should not pray for. And he tells us right there, if you see someone who is sinning and it says that it's leading to death, you don't pray for that. In other words, if you see, the way we would say that is if you see someone that's sinning, okay, and they're not repenting. They're just going down that road and it's gonna lead to death for them, right? We cannot ask God to forgive them without them turning to God. You see what I'm saying? You can't do that. That's not a request that God's gonna answer. God's not gonna force someone, okay? He's not gonna force someone that's not willing to turn back to Him. And He says, you don't need to be praying for that. You don't need to be making that request for him. Now we can pray that God will help his heart, that he's going to turn, right? That he'll turn back to God, but we cannot force forgiveness on that person. You understand what I'm saying? And that's what God is saying here. Okay? If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask and God will give him life to those who commit sin not leading to death. So if someone commits a sin and he's willing to repent, then yeah, you pray to God for him, right? He prays to God, he can get forgiveness of that sin. It's not leading to death. It leads to death when you do not repent of it. Okay? It's going to lead to death. But he says, there is sin leading to death. I do not say that you should make requests for this. And he goes on to say, all unrighteousness is sin, and there's a sin not leading to death. Once again, that sin not leading to death, I believe, is a sin that is going to be, as someone is asking for repentance of. They have turned away, right? They have repented and they've asked for forgiveness of. I'll say it right in a minute. Okay. So think about this. Someone says, well, should we be bothered by this limitation? He tells us not to pray and for that, make that request. Well, no. You shouldn't be bothered by that request. Only those that do not know God. Remember I told you, we need to understand God. We need to understand who He is, how He acts, what He wants. Okay? We are to pray in the will of God, according to His will. And He says right there, it's very plain, isn't it? He tells us how we need to pray, who we need to be praying for. What about the components of the will of God? His purpose, His desire, and His permission, if you will. There are some things that God has willed to do, and man cannot prevent it. You ever thought about that? There are some things that God has willed to do, and man can't do anything about it. He's not going to prevent it. An example. Him sending Jesus down to die for our sins. There was nothing that man could do to stop that. Men tried to. The devil tried to, everyone tried to, but guess what? God's will was going to win out, and it did win out. Jesus died for our sins, He was raised on the third day, and there was nothing anybody could do about it. Anybody could try anything they wanted to, and God's will is going to win out. Okay, so there are certain things that God's will are going to win out. Most often, the will of God, though, refers to God's desire and man's decision. Okay? Man must choose to yield to God for His blessings. Man must choose to yield to God for His blessings. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. You see that? All to come to repentance. Man must choose to yield to God for His blessings. It's the will of God that everyone be saved, but He's not going to force it on anyone. Okay? Now it can also, the will of God can also refer to man's decision and then God's permission in that. Okay, man decides to do something, and God can either say, well, you can do that, or no, you can't. Okay? An example of that. An example of that would be in Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18 and verse 21, Paul Verse 20, it says, when they asked him to stay for a longer time, he did not consent. But taking leave of them and saying, I will return to you again. He said, I'm going to come back to you again if God wills. And then he set sail from Ephesus. Okay, Paul made plans to go back to Ephesus, but guess what? If God decided not for him to go, he wouldn't be going back. Okay? He said, I'm coming back to you if God wills. When we make plans, brethren, when we make plans to do something, okay, we're going to go do this. We're going to go over there and do that. We're going to make this. We're going to do this. You need to keep in mind if God wills for you to do that. Okay? So that's part of being in the will of God, right? Man makes a decision, yet God gives permission or he doesn't give permission in some cases. Okay? But brethren, isn't it very comforting to know that God is in control? God is in control. Do you really have enough faith, or do I have enough faith to say, as you will? That's a hard thing. That's a hard thing to think about, isn't it? We want to do it. We think we're in control. We think we want to do this. We want this. And yet, in reality, we're not in control. None of us here are in control. But God is in control. Do we have enough faith to truly wait on the Lord? You know, the Bible tells us to wait on the Lord. Do we ever want to kind of help God along? Right? You know, say, well, you know what? Okay, things ought to be happening. You know, it's not happening. You know, I think about this. You think about Abraham. The Bible says that Abraham was a great man of faith. He did all of these wonderful things, right? The father of the faithful, Abraham. God told him, you're going to have a son, right? And he says, you'll have a son through Sarah and all these things, you know, and Abraham's waiting around. Nothing's happening, okay? He gets a little antsy, right, you know, and Sarah gets worried about it too. So, hey, why don't you take, you know, let's help God out a little bit, right? Maybe he means we'll go through Hagar and Ishmael. Maybe that, you know, have a son through it. Maybe that's going to be the son of promise. God said, I done told you what it's going to be. See, he wasn't waiting, was he? He was not waiting on the Lord. And that's easy for us to look back now and say, boy, he should have waited, right? Well, I don't know what he was thinking about. Okay? We'd have been the same way. Have you ever prayed for something that's not going to happen for several years? I mean, like I said, when we pray to God, we say, and by the way, can we have it tomorrow? Or even better, can we have it today? As soon as I get this prayer and walk out the door, can it happen, right? You know, and that's what we're, but that's not the will of God. Sometimes it may be. Sometimes you may pray and you walk out and boom, there it is, it happened. Okay, whatever. But most of the time, we've got to learn to trust the Lord. We've got to have faith in the Lord. Turn to Matthew chapter 20, if you will. Matthew chapter 20. In verses 21 and 22. Jesus responded to a request. And this is one of those requests, okay? Okay, think about this. Verse 21. Well, let's read verse 20 to get the context. The mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus with her sons, bowing down and making a request of him. And he said to her, what do you wish? Okay, here we go. If you could go to Jesus and ask him for one thing, what would you ask him? She said to him, command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and one on your left hand. But Jesus answered, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup I'm about to drink? I want you to think about how Jesus responded to that. Have you ever thought that Jesus, who is God, right, okay, You ever thought God might respond to our prayers like that sometime? You don't know what you're asking. You don't know what you're asking. I'll go ahead and tell you, brethren, if God had answered every prayer that I prayed the way that I wanted them answered, it would be just crazy, okay? I'll go ahead and tell you, because there's been so many times I didn't pray for the right things. I thought they were at the time, okay? But then as time has gone on, I'm able to see a little more, a little differently, a little different light, right? And maybe I get a little more information about things. And I thought, but you know what? I wasn't praying the right way. And yet God already knew that. See, when God's in control, He knows. And sometimes we don't know how to pray. And maybe in our prayers, we need to just say, God, I don't know what I need to be praying for on this situation. In this that's going on right now, I don't know what to pray for. And I'll go and tell you, there's been some things that happened in my family recently, and I've done that. I don't know how I need to be praying. But we need to have faith in God. Prayer must be offered in the will of God. It also must be offered with the right motive. With the right motive. James chapter 4. In verse 1. James chapter 4 and verse 1. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source of your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. What are our prayers? What kind of prayers do we have? You know, two people might pray for the same thing, and only one receive what they ask. I wonder why. I want you to consider two people maybe that are asking for a job, or interviewing for a job, or whatever you say. But only one person gets the job. You say, well, how did that person get the job over the other one? Well, someone says, well, this person was more qualified, right? He answered the questions properly. He understood. He had a better rate. He understood what was going on. He had a better day. And you say, oh, well, we understand that, right? What about in our prayers? How are we praying to God? Do we understand? What's the real reason why we ask God for things? Now listen, that's only something that you and God are going to have to work on. And me and God are going to have to work on, right? Why do I ask for certain things? Am I asking on things so I can have stuff and I can spend it on things, right? Am I asking for things that are fleshly, things that are carnal, things of this world? Is that all my focus is on? Remember now, that's not what God's focus is on. God wants us to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what He's looking for His children. Our prayers can well reveal our hearts. How is your heart? If you were to draw a pie chart, and I almost did that, I was going to put a chart up there. But if you were to draw a pie chart, and you know, everybody knows what a pie chart is. Everybody knows what pie is, right? Pie, yes. Okay? You know, not 3.14159, that number. Okay, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a piece of pie. And we cut a piece out, right? And a piece of pie is a piece of the whole thing. The whole thing represents the complete pie. So let's say the whole thing of the pie represents your prayer. And you take a piece of it. So let's take a little piece of it and say that's for praise, right? And take a little piece of it and we say, well, that's for confessing my sins. Okay, we take a little piece of it. Okay, if we take all the pieces, what are most of the pieces made out of? Are they all the things that we want? Imagine being in a relationship with someone. Now listen to me. On this earth, imagine being in a relationship with someone where the only time you hear from the other person is when they ask for something for themselves. Give me, give me, give me. Okay? If my child only comes to me when he needs money, give me, give me, give me, and that's all I ever see out of him, that's all I ever hear from him, then what kind of relationship is that? That's not a relationship, is it? What if you only talk to God when you need stuff? The teacher asked the class, "Do you pray every day?" One little boy said, "No! Some days I cannot think of anything that I want." That's exactly what we act on, right? "Well, I don't need anything today, so don't worry about it." Are you the most fervent and diligent in prayer only when petitioning God? Only when you really need something? You see, brethren, we got to get out of ourselves. We have to get out of ourselves and into becoming a servant to be blessed by prayer. Many treat God as a servant boy to be called on only in time of need. Have you ever heard this? And not only have you ever heard it, have you ever said it? All we have left now is prayer. You ever said that? All that's left is prayer. That's all we can do. Now think about that. Think about what that says. Okay? Think about, you know, we say that, and what we mean by it, and I think, you know, sometimes we mean well by it, right? Because we've all said it, right? And we may mean well, but what we're trying to show is how desperate the situation has become, right? All we have left now is prayer. Well, yet, brethren, you know what we're doing when we say that? We've just limited God. We've limited prayer to just something you do at the very end. When I've already done everything I know to do, everything that I can do, right? I can control this situation. I can do that. And now, we'll just have to pray. It's just like, you know, well, there's nothing left to do. We'll just pray. Well, brethren, I don't think that that's the proper attitude of a Christian. Prayer should be part of our everyday affair. It should be part of us, part of our lives. And so it's something that we're already doing. We don't wait till there's nothing left and then we pray. We're praying to God all of the time because He wants to help us. He wants us to pray to Him. I want to ask you a question. What might you be praying if the end of your life was at hand? What would you be praying if the end of your life was at hand? The power of petition and faith. Jesus teaches us how to pray, brethren. We pray to God as a son. In Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Verses 6 and 7. "Because you are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." There is a real sense of the love and care of the Father. There's also a sense of privilege that we have. Whose son are you? You're the son of God. What a privilege that is. There's also a great need of the provisions of the Father. God has promised us that He will provide for His children. Do we have faith in God? Do we show that in our prayers? But brethren, we must remember this. A true son will want the same things as the Father. A true son will want the same things as the Father. Jesus' purpose in life was only to please the Father. And we are to conform to the image of His Son. So brethren, our lives should be based upon the fact that we want to please the Father. We should be teaching our children that they need to rely upon God. They need to turn to God. Their whole purpose in being is to be conformed to the image of God. That's what it's all about. And brethren, our prayers need to reflect this. Turn with me to 3 John, okay, the book of 3 John, only one chapter, 3 John and verse 2. I want to ask you a question as we read this. What if this prayer was offered to you and I? 3 John and verse 2. John says, "Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers." If someone prayed for you that they hope that your physical body was as good as your spiritual body is, would you be dead? Would we be dead if God, if someone prayed that for us? I hope and pray that your physical body is as good as your spiritual body. You see what our prayers should be like, what our lives should be like, what should we be focusing on? You ever notice the events that follow the lengthy prayers of Jesus? Okay, I want you to just listen to it. One, after an all-night prayer, what did Jesus do? He selected His apostles. It was a big decision, wasn't it? He spent a lot of time in prayer about that. Number two, another occasion He was praying, Peter was tested to walk on the water. Another big thing is going on there, right? They're showing the faith there of His apostles. Jesus also looked to the needs of others in His prayers. Remember John 17? He's praying right before He's about to leave this world. He's praying for other people. Right before He's about to be arrested, right before He's about to die, He's praying for others. What should we pray for? Luke 11, and we can't talk about the idea of petitioning prayer without going through this passage, or in Matthew's account as well. "And I tell you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and then who knocks it will be opened." Excuse me. "What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead ask for a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Think about that. Notice that it says, well, first of all, let's go back to that first verse. Someone says, hey, all it says right here is just ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. So that's all I have to do, right? Ask God, He's going to give it to me. Seek, I'm going to find it, right? And that's the verse we want to hold on to, right? So all we got to do is ask and do it. Okay, well, look at the last verse. Same context. What is God talking about in this? How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? You know what He's talking about? He's talking about spiritual things. He's talking about spiritual strength. He's talking about through His Word He's going to give you the strength to carry on. He didn't say He's going to give you a brand new car. He didn't say, well, it's right there, ask and you'll receive it. You know what God's thinking? I'm not trying to say I know what God's thinking. Let me rephrase that. You know what He might be thinking? If you ask for a new car, I can't give you a new car because you'll forget about me. I can't give you that yacht, okay, that $200,000 yacht out there on the thing, because you will forget about me. You'll put your faith in that, and you won't put it in me. See, God knows what we need. He knows what's best for us. But do we trust Him? Are we willing to wait on Him? Okay, follow Him. That's the key, brethren. We end with this morning. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Boy, I wish I could hold on to that. Okay, I try to, but it's easy, isn't it, to get anxious about stuff, isn't it? Get upset, get worried about something, right? He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition. There's our word. Okay? Petition. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. What should we be praying for? Well, if you're a young person, I'd be praying about dating. Making sure I'm dating the right person. Making sure I'm preparing myself the right way. Parents, child raising. Oh, boy, do we ever need help with that, right? Okay, we all need help with that. Child raising. Pray for wisdom. Pray for daily needs. Okay? The lost. Other Christians. One another. Deliverance from our enemies. Boy, you can look in Psalms, it's all in there. Okay, David's constantly praying for deliverance, help with my enemies, help with the things that are hitting me in this world. Brethren, what a privilege we have as Christians to pray to God. I thank you for your attention this morning. We're about to sing the song, Be With Me, Lord. And brethren, that song is like a prayer. It's a prayer for us. We're asking God to be with us. Okay, let's sing the song. Let's sing the song and let's mean what we sing. Ask God to be with you in everything. He loves you. He cares for you. He sent Jesus down to die for you so you can live for Him. Can we help you this morning becoming a Christian and turning to God in any way? We urge you and beg you to come while we stand and sing.